These lights of space never reach the Earth, but other planetary systems receive the effect they produce, and the people who dwell upon the inhabited planets are frequently able to see them. I will say here that it sometimes happens that a physical being in a cataleptic state will be able to send the spiritual body to these far regions of space, and the experience will be remembered after returning to the body, but such cases are extremely rare, as the physical is unable to stand the strain upon the electrical cord, which may suddenly snap, when all connection between the two ceases and death to the physical is the result. One may practice vacating his physical until the trip to regions beyond may be frequently accomplished with safety. It is a trip well worth remembering. It is interesting to visit the starry bodies nearer the Earth. There is the Moon, with its peculiar phosphorescent light, its hollow mountains and terrific wind, also the planets Mars and Venus, that have become solidified and are inhabited by races of rather remarkable people. Then there is the planet Mercury, whose deep blue vibrations may be seen by the spiritual eye, affecting precious metals in the rocks, and causing them to grow and come forth. Then there is the fiery little planet of Neptune, where the elements are busily at work sending off a peculiar atmospheric conditions that affect other planets as well as the Earth. There is a world of study in the planetary systems of space. Bark separate star and planet as its own particular part to perform. There are some great planets that possess a light of their own, others have no light, but appear so, since they are surrounded by their satellites, which give them light. Other planets the rather receive their light from the sun the same as does the Earth. Frequently a starry planet will seem to twinkle rapidly, and not all minds are able to account for this. A planet with no light of its own, but surrounded by satellites, will seem to twinkle when in reality it is the smaller stars that encircle the larger ones that produce the twinkling effect witnessed by the people of the Earth. First part, Celestial Study of Man, by Charles Sampson, of the Celestial Sphere. What is man, that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? David. Chapter I. Nature of Man. Content in this chapter. The masterpiece, body and soul, possibilities of soul and freedom of powers, threefold nature of man, the material nature or body, its true significance and value, the mental nature or mind, its composition and proper use, conscious mind, unconscious mind, mode of discovery, undreamed of powers, the astral, law of suggestion. Man is the masterpiece of God. No work has ever been created that compares with the marvelous mechanism of the human body or the surpassing beauty and power of the soul. Man little dreams of the wondrous possibilities folded within his soul. Few realize that man is free, that he has the power to make much or little of himself, and that he has this power according as he wills. Man has three natures, material, mental and spiritual. His material nature pertains solely to his body. If this nature be in excess, he is not conscious of possessing a brain and soul. His appetites are low, like the animal, and his brain and soul remain as they are. There is no development or unfoldment. Men should not look down upon his material body, for it is the casket God has given him in which to hold the precious jewel, the soul. He should therefore take good care of it, remembering that it is hard usage that wears it out and unfits it to longer contain the soul. Man's second nature is the mental. It is that which thinks and plans. If this nature be in excess, the material body suffers, for the brain not only uses up its power, but also draws upon the body and saps its strength. The brain itself is composed of millions and millions of little cells. These cells are replenished during sleep with the vital fluid, which is used up again during the work of the day. If a person continuously thinks upon one subject, he exhausts a certain part of the brain until it is no longer able to draw in the vital fluid. Softening of the brain is the result. There is between the brain and the spiritual part something that resembles a sheet of impression paper. It is, of course, of the same texture as the brain. The soul records its impressions upon this, making them clear to the brain, and the brain then gives them to the body. Some call this the conscious mind. It is the mind that man is conscious of. There is another mind, the subconscious mind of the soul. If man would become complete master over himself, he must find this mind. He can do so by frequently closing his eyes and going into the silence. In this way he can become conscious of the subconscious mind. Having knowledge of this, he can build up or restore any part of the human body. He can develop the muscles upon his arm by directing the power of his subconscious mind to that particular place. He may become his own physician. He may see the working of his brain and the blood coursing through the veins of his body. It is this mind that is with the soul, while the body is asleep and the spiritual form far away upon the astral plane. As yet its powers are undreamed of. The law of suggestion is frequently used by spirit friends upon the subconscious mind. Many people carry out the suggestions thus given them by their spirit friends, not knowing how and from whence they have been given. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus. Chapter 2. Soul of Man. Content in this chapter. God's greatest work, the soul, spark of divinity, study of self, novel but difficult, method, power of thought, latent possibilities, development of inner potencies, no end to discovery, hall of memory, impression pictures, vivid and lasting, brain force, magnetic, soul force, electrical, the Holy of Holies, how marvelous is the work of God, displayed in the mechanism of the human body, how indescribably wonderful are the possibilities of the immortal soul, in their stages of unfoldment. In creating the human body God did a good work, but when he placed a divine soul within that body he did a greater work. To this he gave of his own principle and made all men sparks from there, divine. The immortal principle of life he made to endure through all eternity. Men should study themselves, in order to create harmony, peace, happiness and love in the world. In doing this, one can imagine that his body is like a mighty temple, and in order to come in touch with the God within, he must go daily into the temple and partake of the service therein. He must close his eyes and dream that he is passing into the temple of light. It will be difficult at first to get farther than the door, but he must persevere. Presently the door opens, and he finds himself within a strange and wonderful place. Then come the winding corridors of the brain, with some new wonder in the thousands of rooms that are being continually rebuilt by the force which is ever working upon them. Every thought that we think, like a little hammer, makes an impression upon the delicate walls of the brain rooms. As we wander through these rooms we find those that are apparently unfinished, no impression seems to have reached them. These rooms are the latent possibilities of which man has no understanding. As he learns to enter daily into the temple, he begins to understand that he himself must develop these possibilities. He must find out for himself just what can be accomplished by concentrated action upon the latent brain cells. The deeper he explores, the more he finds. The room of thought. What a wonderful place it is, what a busy place it is. Pictures are produced upon its walls. Some of these remain. Others pass away almost as quickly as they are produced. There is the hall of memory. The pictures that hang upon its walls represent all subjects. The artist that produces them is a master. He understands well the mixing of colors. His pictures are always bright. Many of them he would remove if he could do so, but it is impossible. There are little printing presses in some of the rooms. These seem to be at work printing impressions that the mind may grasp and make clear to the physical body. In the brain of an inventor or mechanical genius we can find, as it were, pieces of machinery, bits of iron, screws and nails being fitted together. What a buzzing and whirling of wheels and belts there is, and what a power of magnetic force sets the machinery in motion and keeps it a-going. We understand that the magnetic force is generated by the brain, while the electrical force is of the soul. An examination of the outer surface of the brain shows that it consists of two parts, which are separated in the middle by a curtain. This may be compared to the structure of the tabernacle, described in the Bible, whose apartments are separated by a curtain. The part behind the curtain is the Holy of Holies. This is the place where man is supposed to enter if he would commune with God. It is a peculiar fact that this part in the brain is the seat of sensitive vibrations, and when it is active, man is in the most perfect state of harmony. He feels elevated and nearer to God than at any other time. Of course, this seat of sensitive vibrations does not of itself possess any power, but the soul force is strongest and most highly developed at this point. This is preeminently the spiritual part of the temple. Chapter 3. Power Up Thought. Content in this chapter. Brain mechanism, brain force, soul power, soul dynamo of thought, key to the problem of being, thought processes, method of discovery, simple sense impression, brain impression or picture, concentration in the silence, vision of interior being, the subconscious mind known through the conscious mind, soul picture or impression, conscious mind perishable, subconscious mind eternal, the latter connected with the astral form, sleepwalking, a subconscious activity. The brain is the printing press of the human body. It is a wonderful piece of mechanism. It prints its own and the soul's impression. The soul is the power behind the brain. This is the great life force by which people live, move and have their being. The soul creates, the brain expresses. In the last lesson we talked about the brain room of the temple of the living God. After exploring its wonderful chambers, we come to another part of the temple, where there appears to be a wall separating us from what is within. We can surmount this only by practicing daily the power of concentration. They who succeed in passing into this room find therein the key that solves the problem of existence. Herein are written the laws of God, making clear all secrets and mysteries. All who enter here may experience the peace that passeth understanding. The brain room you thought was wonderful, but this one is far more so. Here you may watch a thought as it is first created. Here you may learn the secret of vibration, that marvelous electrical telegraph which sends its messages in the 16th part of a second. Here one may find harmony. Here he may have communion with his angel friends. The part of man which is divine is located in this far away corner of the temple. While sitting in one's room, it is a good plan to try this exercise. Look at some object without thinking about it and close your eyes immediately. Do not think after closing your eyes. What do you see? The image of the object just looked at. This is gone in a second. This is the simplest form of an impression. It has no connection whatever with the brain force. Close your eyes again and think of something. Now that thinking requires exertion, that is, you must use your brain power to bring up the picture. This is a surface brain impression, that is, the picture is bioduced upon the outer surface of the brain. As the brain tissues are constantly changing from the old to the new, this impression is soon obliterated. So far you have only been upon the surface. Now close your eyes again, and say to yourself, I want to see what lies beyond this brain surface. This time I am going to center all my force to see what is there. Use your will as before and look within until you begin to see more clearly. Each time that you succeed makes you stronger and better prepared to see deeper. While you are practicing this, remember that all great writers, musicians, poets, artists and men remarkable for their ability as leaders of men have accomplished their work by retiring often within themselves. It was not easy for them at first, but by accustoming themselves to deep thought they became stronger and stronger, until the whole inner mechanism of their body and soul became clear to them. Everybody has the power to enter into his conscious mind, because he has been taught to do so and has made himself familiar with it. Now this is not enough. He should become conscious of his subconscious mind. He can do this first by entering his conscious mind and then working his way to the mind of the soul. At first you may find that you can get no farther than your conscious mind, but don't give it up, keep on trying. Remember, you cannot reach the subconscious mind unless you first pass through the conscious mind. Perhaps you may try a week before seeing even a crevice that leads to the subconscious mind, and then suddenly you are amazed to find it all clear to you. Having found your subconscious mind, you can prepare to study it. A good way to come in touch with your inner mind is this. Close your eyes and try to think of something that made a lasting impression upon your life, something that had a deep feeling connected with it, either of joy or grief. The picture you see is not upon your conscious mind. It has been produced upon your subconscious mind, the mind of your soul. Time cannot obliterate it. That impression will always remain. You will carry it with you into the next world. Your conscious mind, the mind of your brain, will perish with your body, but the other mind, the subconscious, is eternal. The subconscious mind is very intellectual. It is capable of great power in its full development. It is the mind that accompanies the astral form in its travels through the night. If the astral form had not the power to leave the body, the person would walk in his sleep. It is during sleep that the subconscious mind predominates. Sleepwalkers are able to perform wonderful feats in climbing and walking in perilous places, because the subconscious mind dominates the physical. Chapter 4. Development of Soul Powers. Content in this chapter. The peace of God, its marvelous power, the key to all mystery, thought transference, vibration, etc., astral experiences, stages of development, the problem of existence, life, a school, the soul's electrical wires, solar plexus, enrapport, spiritual electricity, how to live, etc. When you enter the temple of your soul, say to yourself, may the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shed within me the light of knowledge and love divine. May it lift me up and show me the delights of the angelic world. This thought will help the soul to come into touch with God. It will enable it to unfold its powers, showing wonders undreamed of. In this way one may find the key that unlocks all mystery. He can understand first how to pass into the brain, through the conscious mind to the temple of the soul, and from thence into the subconscious mind, and from thence transport his soul to any desired place, either upon the material plane or in the world beyond. Within the chamber of the subconscious mind, he will study thought transference, vibration, inspiration, the secret of communion with the subconscious mind or call individuals, and the power of remembering distinctly the experiences that he was upon the astral plane during the hours of sleep. By conquering and understanding one stage of development, a person will be prepared to understand the next stage, and so on, until finally he can say, I know that it is possible to solve the problem of existence upon the material plane and all others through the growth of strong powers of concentration and deep, earnest reflection. All life is a school. The material life and experience is a sort of preparatory institute for college in the life beyond, and you must learn each lesson as it comes. You cannot understand the teachings of college life until you have first mastered the problems of the preparatory school. So it is in the study of the human organism and the part which is divine. Within the deep chambers of the soul are electric, vibratory wires that connect with the great nerve center of the body, the solar plexus. These little electric wires are like telegraphic lines which connect with the instrument of transmission. They are the wires that produce vibration, enabling two persons to come in rapport with one another. Though they be thousands of miles apart, the more these wires are used, the stronger they become and the greater is their power for good. They are continually sending out messages, but if the instrument at the other end is not en rapport, then the message reaches some individual for whom it was not intended. The spiritual electricity in these little wires may take on a higher force by pure living, feeding the body on the most wholesome kind of food, and drinking pure water and plenty of it. Fruit is good, also fruit juices, as they are extracted in the pure state, are very good. If one would desire to develop his higher forces, it would also be well for him to carry salt upon his person. Chapter V. Wonders of the inner organism. Content in this chapter. Vistas of light and beauty, reading God's commandments within, the aura light, its colors and their significance, spiritual electricity, its colors and their significance, the body, the temple of the living God, Jesus Christ, the highest embodiment of power from within, the inner light and power, development, thought force, a cause of disease and sickness, suggestion to the subconscious, life eternal and indestructible, the spark of life from the universal whole, the mystery solved. New vistas of light and beauty are continually opening to the soul, that enters freely into the silence and the communes with the God of his spirit. All things are made clear to the newly awakened soul, and heaven comes down the earth to greet. Angelic voices bring him their heavenly messages, and he finds a pleasure in living that he never experienced before. Pure thought, large aspiration, righteous living, and food of the purest quality, with the desire to understand the higher forces, may finally enable one to read the commandments of God inscribed upon the tablet of his own soul. Understanding the inner power will enable one to commune telegraphically with others, as well as to see the vibrations that he sends out and where they strike. All individuals reflect an aura of light from their personality. This aura can be discerned only by the spiritual sight. It is bright and its color brilliant in the degree that the person is spiritualized. If he possesses a moral weakness, it will be manifest in the spiritual aura. If his weakness is tobacco, dark brown spots will appear at intervals in his aura. If he loves the wine cup, its symbol will be a scarlet flame. A highly spiritualized individual emits a light of very beautiful blue. This is the highest form of spiritual electricity. There are many degrees of electricity, signifying different degrees of strength. The rose color signifies beautiful strength. It is not so penetrating, however, nor so potent as the white, fine or purple. The electricity that is visible to the physical eye is not spiritual but material electricity. Spiritual electricity is the higher form. The spiritual body is composed of this higher form of electricity. A strong and symmetrically developed physical body is magnetic. Such a body combined with a thoroughly electrified spiritual organization makes a strong and well-balanced individual. Everyone should always bear in mind that his physical body is the casket which holds the pearl of great price, the jewel of God's love / the immortal soul. He should always keep the temple of the living God pure and holy. By doing so he may worship therein in a more satisfactory manner than behind the walls of a church or anywhere else, for nothing is there that detracts from the Supreme Being whose presence is manifest at that sacred shrine, the Holy of Holies. That good and gentle man, Jesus Christ, was the most perfect embodiment of the divine principle. He was the manifestation of the Holy Ghost through the immortal soul. He was the most highly spiritualized being who understood the power from within. All men are the sons of God, but far below him in knowledge of divine truth and attainment of spirituality. He always dwelt in the light, the inner light of truth and divine reality. The more one seeks for this inner light, the brighter and more penetrating it becomes, until finally it floods the whole temple of his being and reflects through the physical eye the glory from within. As one enters the silence he should say, I desire the light, I wish it to flood my whole inner being and brighten up the farthest and darkest corner. He can grow strong by frequently desiring this power. In this way he will begin to see the most beautiful tints and colors, and then will come pictures and visions passing and repassing like the scenes of a panorama. So much that is wonderful and beautiful may be developed through man's forces. Also many things that are very inharmonious and unpleasant may be produced in the same way. One's own thought vibration may cause sickness in his body or in the body of another. If a person thinks that perhaps he may take cold, he is liable to develop in a short time the symptoms of it. The explanation of this is the law of suggestion. This law of suggestion is frequently applied to the soul while the body is asleep. If a person is not in touch with the subconscious, he will not remember any suggestion given him during sleep, but he will act out the suggestion while awake, not understanding why he does so. The more one studies the wonders of his organism, the more there is to learn. There is no end to life, it is eternal, indestructible. The God principle which permeates all nature is continually renewing itself. As time goes on and man grows in knowledge, he becomes more capable of understanding the wonderful force by which life is created and truth unfolded. The great poet, Tennyson, said, If he could only see what caused the seed to grow and how it developed its leaves and blossoms, he would then understand God. Knowing the powers of the seed and how the spark of life is derived from the universal whole, by which it carries out its plans, this knowledge is within the soul, but it, too, must be developed and unfolded. Tennyson would not say in this enlightened age that he did not think it possible to solve the mystery of the seed. Chapter V. Significance of color vibrations. Content in this chapter: happiness of realization, awakened senses, necessity of knowledge, self-mastery, knowledge, most desirable, classification, color vibrations, their significance and utility, curative towers, nature's forces, vibratory, musical sounds, vibratory. Happy is he who realizes the wonders of his own organism. Happy is he who knows that he is endowed with beneficent senses, which require only an awakening from their dormant state to make the world a more habitable and beautiful place to live in. If a person aspires to be a teacher, he himself must first acquire the desired knowledge and show himself capable of imparting it to others. He must be master of himself. He will then be able to conquer all things. Each new step that he takes will reveal to him more beauty, more grandeur and greater possibilities. What could be more desirable than to behold with closed eyes the inner workings of nature, to seconds that printing press of the human brain, working with greater rapidity than any machine in a newspaper office, and sending out vibrations through the electric wires that run through the body to the great nerve center, the solar plexus, to see the electric vibrations passing out of the physical body in all directions and to all points of the universe, to see the thoughts that are sent to the mind, to some of them striking unresponsive centers and bounding off to other receptive minds for which they were not intended, and then to see the grand spiritual aura which shows the events that are to come into the individual's life in the future. What could one see that would be more desirable than all this? These wonders just mentioned and many more like them make a most fascinating study to the soul in the process of unfoldment. The order in which we may study these truths is as follows: materialism and the body, menthology and the brain, spiritual embodiment or the soul in the body, astral, the study of the soul on their astral plane, spiritualism or disembodiment pertaining to life in the spirit world, celestialism or the study of an angel or developed spirit and the laws which govern the celestial world. In the cure of disease, knowledge of color vibrations is most important. It is one that should be well analyzed. In treating disease by mind power, one should send out vibrations of certain colors for certain maladies. A person suffering from lung trouble should receive red vibrations followed by blue. These two will exert an influence that is more healing than any of the others. In treating those who suffer from heart trouble, one should use the 7 primary colors, since the heart is the main organ of the physical body. Healing power may be exerted by placing colored glass in the region of an afflicted part and allowing the light from a candle, electric bulb, or lamp to shine directly upon it. Colored electric bulbs placed before diseased parts of a body are helpful. There are people who should have particular colors about them, as they draw certain influences that are either helpful or detrimental. Black is not a helpful color, it draws depressing influences. The mourner who wears black will be unhappy for a much longer period than she would be by discarding the black, and wearing a color pleasanter to the sight and calculated to suggest bright and happy thoughts. A person having a sympathetic temperament should never wear red. Blue is the principal color for them to wear, as it is the negative element in opposition to the abundance of warm, red, positive blood that courses through the veins. A cold-blooded, negative person should always have about them warm, bright colors, for these will help them supply the force that they lack. Everyone should wear upon their person their particular color. It is not necessary that it be worn where it is visible at all times, but it is well for them to think of their particular color frequently, as it will be helpful to them. All the forces of nature have different color vibrations. These vibrations can be seen only by the spiritual eye. Those who have laid aside the body and others that have learned while upon the material plane to solve the problem of existence for themselves, these can see the color vibrations of nature. musical tones of color vibrations. Each tone produced upon the piano has its own peculiar color vibration. The minor tones have soft, delicately tinted vibrations, while the opposite colors are produced by the higher tones. These are interesting truths in themselves, and should be thoroughly studied and well understood. Chapter 7.